It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello, and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name's Blue. Alongside of me is the world famous Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law.
Yes.
And alongside of him is Mr. Joe Grande. How are you doing, Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Christopher Wright, and thank you all for listening to the podcast, Cannabis Talk 101. All around the world, 136 countries and counting.
Yes.
And we appreciate each and every one of you as we bring you all news about cannabis. And if you ever want to give us a call, 1-800-420-1980. Make sure you check out our website at Cannabis Talk 101, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis. Check out our Instagram pages for daily news, learn the script, and so much more at Cannabis Talk 101. And of course, at pot_brothers_@_law. Well, Mark is at Waslaw, Craig is at Waslaw Dog, Blue is at one Christopher Wright.
Hello.
And I am at Joe Grande 52. And as we are all the way live here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada for the MJ BizCon event.
Yes.
If you're not at these type of events, folks, you're really missing out, because there's so much that goes on here. It's basically what we call the Super Bowl of cannabis events. And we are blessed to talk to the quarterback of all this events. As I say, it's the Super Bowl of cannabis. We have the CEO of MJ BizCon, Mr. Chris Walsh. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited.
No doubt, Chris. You know, cannabis. It's just so crazy that we have the CEO of MJ BizCon, because how does this even get started? I want the history of MJ BizCon, because you don't become a Super Bowl your first year.
No.
You guys have built this up to be a monster. Is it all you're creating? Talk about it. Please give us a story.
Yeah, I mean, 10 and a half years ago.
A little closer to the mic too, Chris, please.
10 and a half years ago, the two co-founders of what became MJ Biz and Cassandra hired me to help launch a trade publication for the industry to cover it and provide business people with business intelligence, news, analysis, market research. And so we realized after about 6 months there was no professional trade show for people in the cannabis industry. Now, back then, only about a dozen states had legalized medical. And the industry needed help. It needed help to professionalize, to grow, to work its way into the mainstream, and then fuel legalization. And the way to do that was by helping businesses, but also making the industry professional, because there was a huge stigma around the industry, right?
Sure.
So it wasn't going to gain mainstream acceptance. We weren't going to see legalization spread. There was no way in hell we were going to see recreational legalization unless the industry put a professional face on it. It was just a fact. So we launched MJ BizCon in 2012 with the idea of doing just that, a professional place for people to get together, to learn from each other, how to grow their businesses, how to start businesses, how to invest in this industry. And we took a very focused approach on the business side, right? Not consumers and not patients. This is a big field, and you could go a lot of different directions. This was our choice, to come in and help businesses survive and thrive and grow. And so over the years, our first show was in Denver. Couldn't find a venue that would take us. It was at an old Masonic lodge.
Wow.
And
literally, what were some of the responses you got from the places that were saying no when you even approached?
You're trying to bring drugs here.
Yeah, they would just not get back to us in some cases, right?
Right.
Or they just say we can't host a weed event.
Jesus.
You know, they were just, and this was in Denver too.
Right.
Yeah, but you're trying to explain to them, hey, we're trying to do business to business.
Yep.
We want to give a facelift on the cannabis industry. It's essentially what we've done as well for the cannabis industry, because there's a lot of stoner stupid shows or fun shows that are out there, but no one was really delivering real content. And so when you guys were able to put this together 10 years ago and someone took you in, how did that look? That first show.
So the first show we came in, I still today, wearing a suit and tie, right?
Yeah.
I don't really fit in here, but... But we wanted to put this face on the
industry.
I'm
in a tux. Come on, Craig. I went above you.
You got a weed bow tie. You know, you fit in nicely.
But doesn't it look right, though?
It looks awesome. It looks awesome.
I just got it on Amazon the other day. Thank you.
I'm going to order myself one.
Yeah. Don't bite my style, Chris. Somebody follow him on Instagram. I'm tracking this dude. So go ahead, continue.
So, we held the first event, and we were trying to make it professional. And people did dress professionally, right? And I had been to some medical cannabis shows, supposed to be focused on the medical side, not really business. And you know, you'd have Cypress Hill there, you'd have a show floor full of bongs, you'd have women walking around in bikinis holding joints. It just wasn't putting the right face on the industry. And so That first event, we had about 400 attendees and maybe 30 exhibitors.
Wow.
In this place in Denver. And we said, look, it was huge success at that time. And we're like, okay, the industry obviously needs this, and we're going to do it right, and we're going to be professional about this. And we're going to listen to the industry and see what they need and what they want. So then it grew. We went to Seattle area, Auburn. Couldn't get anywhere in Seattle. And we ended up at a racetrack.
Wow.
Only venue that would take us in 2000.
A racetrack in Seattle.
A racetrack. Like a dog and horse racetrack. And we were in there like main building.
You guys
building.
Were the ponies.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep us literally the ponies, man. Yeah.
But you know what? I give them, Emerald Downs it was called, I give them a lot of credit because they let a cannabis business show come
it's
in.
Ballsy.
When
yes.
no one else would.
Yeah, sure.
So we've experienced this over and over, and we decided to go to Las Vegas for various reasons. And even when we came here, really.
Is that the third year then, Las Vegas?
Yes.
Because yep. I want the story,
yeah,
the
yeah,
full
I'm
details.
Follow, I'm trying to follow.
And I know that.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down. I'm like, Denver, Seattle, then Las Vegas?
So we were moving it around, first two rec states, you know, recreational legalization, Colorado, Washington.
Yeah.
And then we decided, okay, the industry's maturing, and we should go to a destination place. And we said, Vegas is great.
Vegas,
you know,
sure.
It kind of fits with the industry.
It
I know
does.
Some people love it or hate it, but. You know, it Vegas embraces things that other places don't.
Sin City.
You get to do a little of all of the things.
So you came here, that would be 2015 then.
Yes, but get this. No, that was 14.
Okay.
12 in Denver, 13, 13 in Seattle area,
right.
And then here.
I jumped from 12 to 13 here, right? Thank you. I forgot about 2012. Yeah. And then how did it jump that first year in Vegas? Because my interpretation of Las Vegas from that standpoint of doing something like this would be Sin City, open-armed, let's go, but still hesitant because it's not federally legal. But what is this MJ BizCon anyways? Let me look at two recap videos of what we're doing. Did it start at the convention center? Was it at a small venue here? Walk me through that.
That's a great question because we experienced it again where we couldn't find a venue. And the one that opened their arms to us was the Rio.
I remember.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was
there.
The Rio, right?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Because they would take us and they were willing to take a chance on us and that we were going to do it right, not get anyone in trouble or not put a bad, you know, stain on the industry or the city. And right. And at that time, it was legal for medical in Nevada.
Right.
But their system was all messed up. Like, they didn't have good regulations. It wasn't a very good industry. And so people said, why are you going to Vegas? And we said, we see potential. It's the convention capital of the world. And we're going to try and anchor here for a couple of years and see how it goes. It was great because of now look at Vegas and look at Nevada. You know,
sure,
they're
yes.
on the cutting edge in some main areas like social consumption. And it's a fast growing market. But the Rio took us. They loved us. We worked well with them. We stayed there for a couple of years and we outgrew the space. And then by that time, yeah. things had changed. And the convention
how many
center.
Years? How many years at Rio?
I believe we were there for 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember the first year that it hit the Rio.
Yeah.
And I think that was my first awakening to MJ Biz myself. And I was like unbelievable. Like, it was such a well-orchestrated event. And just, you know, the type of people that were involved, you know, it wasn't just your guys, backpack boys. It wasn't a festival. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is it. This is what
it's
we
legit,
need.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a legit,
super legit
industry.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that, and that's what we were trying to show. And I'll always remember this because it was a turning point, I believe. We were able to get Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry's as our keynote. And up until that point, you couldn't get a keynote outside of cannabis. Someone running a cannabis company, because no one was going to speak that had any name was going to speak to this unless it was.
I'm not talking
Cheech
to that cannabis community.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Right. I run a real business.
Yep,
yeah.
yep. And so Ben Cohen came in as our keynote, and he really resonated with the industry and our audience. He spoke about being a socially responsible company and how you give back, and it's not just about profits. And yes, business is part of it. But they always ran Ben & Jerry's with a bigger picture in mind. And that was what the industry needed to hear because that's what a lot of people were in it for.
Sure.
Right.
It was to help patients, right? Or it was to embrace a plant that they had grown up
or
with.
Or help loved. Communities because they're
or
doing
help communities.
Something. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
There's tons of reasons why cannabis companies or any company does that. But you're right. Hearing somebody speak on that, that's one of the things I admired about MJ BizCon was that out-of-the-box big public speaker, like the guy from Ben & Jerry's. You just like, really? But the moral of those type of stories are morals to business. And what cannabis is a business. So you should treat this and look at it as hearing from the big professionals, and that's what you're getting here at MJ BizCon. Because
it is.
From that type of guy, who else? Drop some of the names, Chris, that you guys have had that have been like, wow, look who else came on. Because I know even this one, you guys have big names.
Yeah, I mean, it started, Ben Cohen was the first, right, who really said, I'll speak at this. And he was fantastic, outstanding ovation, and it was like a changing moment, you know, that I felt like, hey, the industry is starting to make it and be respected. We had Ralph Nader. We had Penn Jillette, who's a very, you know, political commentator, also an entertainer here. We had Stephen Levy, who co-wrote Freakonomics at an event.
Was that Penn and
Penn and Teller? But he's also really into politics. He's a libertarian. And so he would, you know, rail.
Well-spoken, educated.
Yeah, very well-spoken, educated. So we started getting more and more people, not only at MJ BizCon, but at some of our other events. We had Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
I remember that.
You know, a couple years ago. So, and then in 2000, last year, when we had to go to virtual, you know, we got John Mackey, the co-founder of Whole Foods.
Wow.
And he was not able to speak at our event in the past. He turned it down, or his board turned it down, or something, because again, it was like that. No, we're not speaking American.
We're not doing taboo.
Then he was speaking here, and this year we have Damon John,
yes,
also from Shark Tank, a successful entrepreneur and investor, and we couldn't get him in the past either. So this is a reflection of where the industry is and where it's going, and there are dangers of it becoming mainstream. We want to keep the culture. We want to keep this a fun industry that gives back and helps people and doesn't become all about the profits and the dollars. It's about finding that balance between the two.
And but also, it's a Chris, responsibility.
Chris, it's not only about the cannabis industry, but to pat you guys as your whole organization on the back, it's a clear reflection on what MJ BizCon has brought to the industry. Because those type of people still don't go speak at other conferences. It's at MJ BizCon that you get those type of caliber people.
Correct.
So I applaud you and salute you. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Chris Walsh. It's Cannabis Talk 101 all the way live at MJ BizCon in Las Vegas. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 live at MJ BizCon with Chris Walsh. Now, Chris, this has been honestly, it's a privilege for us to have you here. I mean, we love the fact that we actually got you to sit down with us, and I think I have to give Tess some love for that.
Because we've been trying for years.
I didn't know. I'm happy to be here. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm honored to be on it.
And I think I give her that plug. I told her, Tess, we love you. Thank you. But just your team, your organization, you guys run a tight ship. Sometimes too tight.
Yeah, we've heard that.
But it's your job, though, and you have to, because it can't be slippery. I get it. You know, where is this industry going? I mean, you guys have got the what are we in the second hall?
North Hall location in Las Vegas. Is the biggest convention center
in
here.
South? Are you in South and North? Right
we're now? In Central and North this year. Central. First time we're in two.
Yeah,
and the growth since the last year, well, excluding the pandemic, but before that, every year you just kind of growing and growing almost exponentially.
Well, it went from 30 booths, say, to how many booths do you have now today?
We came in hopeful that we'd have over 1,000. We have over 1,200, wow. So it's good.
It's
and
awesome.
We got a lot of attendees, and, you know, we have some effect from COVID. It hasn't, not everything's fully recovered, but you look around, it's busy.
There's
a lot of people here, and the industry is ready. The industry is ready to get back to business, ready to be in person, and how the industry built itself over the years.
Yes.
Chris, I'm just wondering with your past, I mean, you started off, from what I understand, as the CEO of this company with the two owners that started this company from hearing your story. Did you know these two guys? Like, how did you get the role of CEO? You look like you're about 28 years old, for God's sakes. You still look like a young man. I'm sure you got a couple years on that.
No one's ever said that.
It's all the cannabis.
Yeah, but I'm just so curious, what is your story? Personally.
Well, actually, I became the CEO in January of last year. Talk about the worst timing ever.
You just know it all. Virtual.
But here's the thing. They hired me to help build the company from day one. So it was two women, Anna and Cassandra, and they were from marketing and banking, and they ran trade publications for other industries and had done events.
Gotcha.
So they noticed the opportunity in 2011 and said, what's this weed industry, you know, growing up? Let's bring what we know how to do to this industry. It's got to need the same things we know how to do. So they hired me to help launch it. And then over time, I built MJ Biz Daily, our flagship media property, MJ Biz Magazine, and built all of our content, including at the shows. And then I moved more to the business side and oversaw, you know, sales and revenue and all their departments. And then again, January 2020, took over as CEO as the co-founder stepped back. And then went into the year full of optimism. We had big plans. We were in other countries.
So ready.
Going hard.
Yeah, we were hiring. And in a span, as we all know, of a couple months, everything kind of fell out.
But that's even a greater test to you as the CEO because you've done the different levels. You can look at somebody and say, dude, I've done your job. I get it. Let's execute this way. You have a better understanding of what the formula is here that works. And you guys go more than just Vegas. Where else can people find the MJ BizCons that are so successful?
Well, so right now we're streamlining because we're waiting till we have more certainty around COVID. And it looks like we're in a good place. Like, look at this. We're back. People are here. They're eager. But we didn't want to overplan. What I realized during the pandemic, when we went into the year with 7 events, including in Colombia, Bogota, and including in Denmark, we're going to Copenhagen and exploring other countries, and had several in the U.S. and in Canada, was during the pandemic, we had to pivot every second. We didn't know which ones we'd be able to host, how it would work. We had to communicate to the audience, communicate to exhibitors, and I couldn't put us in that position again until we had more certainty over how things were going to unfold. So really, we put a lot of energy into our publishing side and into MJ BizCon and making sure that we had a big, triumphant return this year, and that as we look to next year, you know, we're planning MJ BizCon, and we're going to see the industry's changed, we've changed, and we're going to identify the most promising opportunities, the biggest needs. So right now, you know, we've got MJ BizCon next year, which we're starting planning earlier than ever, and going to really blow it out in a more normalized environment. And then we're going to be pursuing those other opportunities and seeing what makes sense on the event side.
And I see you guys joined up with Hall of Flowers as their whole area is right next to us. How does a relationship come like that as you're holding the CEO title? Was that your doing?
Me and their CEO and their founders, we actually hooked up after a conference call we were both on, and we started talking. And we just said, look, you have a thing that you've created in California. This is Hall of Flowers. In California, you can have trade shows where there's actual product on the show floor. You can have buds. You can have infused products.
Yeah.
Can't do that anywhere else.
Sure.
So they latched onto that in a great way, and they really were bringing the infused products companies and the retailers together. So you can go and you can feel and touch and taste the product. Again, you can't do that in Vegas. You can't do that anywhere else. So their vibe and their feel is different than ours. It's a different audience and in general. And we just thought, like, hey, you got a leading brand over here in California, and we like what they do. We like how they do it, and they're onto something. They like what we do, and we said, let's team up to bring more of that to MJ BizCon. Because the one knock that we've heard over on MJ BizCon is it's a bunch of vendors.
Sure.
Where are the actual dispensaries?
Ancillary products all day.
Right, and here's the thing. The show floor is that way. Not completely, but the show floor is heavily that way. But the people here aren't that way. The dispensary owners and the growers and all that, they're here, they're walking around, and they're interacting with the booth. But we wanted to bring more of the product side, because here's what changed. In the past, you could only have a dispensary in one city, or maybe one state, or an infused product brand. The industry hadn't figured out how to expand beyond that. So why would a dispensary in one state care about infused product brands in other states, right? They didn't care, and vice versa. Now is what we've seen as the industry is maturing. So now you have companies that have figured out how to get into multiple markets to build their brands. You know, you got MSOs that are in 10, 15, 20 states. You've got infused products brands in 5, 10, 15 states. So now it has gotten to a point where it's maturing, and you have these companies that really, from an event standpoint, want to be out there, want to be in front of the national industry.
Yeah.
So we were hooking up this year with Hall of Flowers, and their spot is busy. It's different. It's cool. And that's
very cool.
That's part
it
of
is.
What we need to do to stay successful, any business in this industry, right? You got to, if you just rest evolve. On your laurels, Diversify. You're done, yeah. right? And so we can't just come
That's
and
life, though,
out the
right?
same
you
thing.
Can't rest on your laurels in life.
Especially
it's just a good
now
life
in this day and age.
And that being said, Chris, talk about to somebody who's listening to this podcast somewhere in the world and goes, what is MJ BizCon? What could I expect? Why would I want to go to an MJ BizCon? What would you say to that listener out there that's listening to this right now as you're the CEO of this wonderful organization?
Well, thank you. You know, if you have any interest in the cannabis industry, you know, this is the place to go. Not only in the U.S., or Canada, it's globally. And we have people from 70 countries here every year. I don't know where we ended up this year. I think it was like 40 or 50, which is saying something because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
This is becoming a global industry. So no matter where you are, if you think there might be a path for you, where do you start? You start doing research. You need to meet people. You need to learn from people in this industry if you're going to be successful. And look around, you know, 26, 27, 28,000 this year, 30, 40 next year. This is where you go. And we've heard countless times over and over and over, A, I didn't take the industry seriously until I went to MJ BizCon and said, my God, it's real. Or B, this is what made my business plan. I met the right person. I made the right connection. I met an investor. So I would just encourage, if you're looking to make a play in this industry, you know, come and get out there. And not just our event. I mean, go get out there and network and talk to people. And that's the way you figure out how it works and how to be successful.
Well, I want to be respectful of your time, though. I think you have a hard out at 150, right?
I do.
So that being said, I want to be respectful. I know we all want to keep talking to you because you're a great guy. Yes. We're having an after party tonight at Hustler. You're more than welcome to come. Have a good time. The first lap dance I'm giving you is on me. After that, you got to tip me. But
is it you who's doing it?
Come on, Chris. What are you looking at? I got the best track smarts from this west of the Mississippi. Well, Chris Walsh, appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You are the Mississippi.
There it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk. We'll be right back after this break.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, the Pop Brothers at Law, Blue,
hello,
and Joe Grande.
Hola.
And our full Cannabis Talk 101 team. Big thanks to Erica, Daniel, Cal, Irtaza, Christian, Denny, Kevin, Andrew, Zach, Cash, Cam, Salar, Nadia, Ali, Pitt, Chris Franchino, Jennifer, and Elvis. Thank you guys for putting it all together. Joe, what's going on?
Well, first off, you guys, I think I can speak for all of us by saying Chris Walsh was a class act.
Yes.
Hearing everything he had to say about the story of MJ BizCon, starting off in Denver when nobody wanted them, then to go to Seattle and be at a
Masonic
racetrack.
Temple, right? Or
I mean,
like that.
Just to be at the, you know, and then to finally come to Las Vegas to start with just a few places at the Rio. What a phenomenal story.
Yeah.
To see where it's at today here at MJ BizCon in Las Vegas with over 1,200 booths.
Two halls.
And to think how Chris Walsh is a great guy. And you know what? All kidding aside, I really love the way that these guys are so business here. I mean,
it's all business.
It's all business here, folks. We are a loose group here at Cannabis Talk 101, and we're business. But sometimes we need to tighten up with a few things, our masks or this or that. And you know what? I condemn them for doing their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
I take my hat off to them, saying, you know what? They're doing their job, and their whole staff is doing what it takes to get the job done to their level.
Expectations.
Yes, and you know what? And for that, I love it as much as I'm like, but I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go, I don't want to do that. No.
You got to.
Yes.
We do got to do that, and I got to do it. So that being said, I want to share a story with you guys. It's not necessarily going green. It's not necessarily making waves, but maybe it's both of them. It's definitely not when cannabis goes bad. But I wanted to get your guys' thoughts and opinions on this one. New York employees. This is breaking news out of the East Coast. From New York employees, they can now test. They cannot no longer test employees for weed.
Yay!
Cannabis.
Yay! Right? So New Yorkers can now unwind with a little cannabis after work with no worries, as Albany's Labor Department issued new guidance just on this past Tuesday that bans employers in the state from testing employees for cannabis.
Yes.
Now here's the catch though, Mark.
Oh no.
Unless the worker seems visibly stoned on the job.
What the f-
So here's the
what
question.
What does that mean?
I want to read more, but the question I'm going to ask you is, what does visually stoned mean to you? Mark, I don't think you're going to have a good answer because you're such a homer. Blue will have a good answer because he's realistic. I will have a real answer because I'm realistic. Under the new rules, reeking of... Listen to this, because there's more things, but I want to ask you guys that opinion on that one, right? But under these new rules, even reeking the smell of pot smoke would not be grounds for a test.
Okay, good.
After the state ended its prohibition on recreational cannabis this spring, observation signs of the use and do not indicate impairment of their own cannot be cited as articulable symptoms of impairment, the guidance states. It's still so questionable, every language that they're using here, Mark. I mean, you're a lawyer. You
it's
hear
BS.
This. You see this all the time, because who are we kidding?
What
they
it
can
does.
Say, you staring at the window That's is the it. Case, right? Like, that, so it doesn't really matter, because they say the guidance states, right? However, employers are within, here's the key too.
Yeah.
However, employers are within their rights to ban workers from possessing cannabis on the job site, according to the guidance. I'm okay with that. That's
what, can
okay.
I have my Vicodin on the job site?
No. That's a good no, observation
what?
There.
And actually, it depends what job
yeah,
site
well,
you're
well,
on.
I have prescription. I have other prescription medication.
You know what?
Though,
if you're
that?
You know what's funny is I remember being at
the
work one day and having to take a Vicodin because of my tooth pain when I worked at Power 106, and it killed me. I had to go into the I had to go to Jason Ryan's office and lay down because I couldn't even work. Like, I couldn't talk. I was all pedo, like just feeling crappy. So I
cannabis
actually agree
doesn't
with it.
Do that.
Cannabis remains illegal on the federal level, and workers who are required to be tested under federal and state law, like commercial vehicle drivers, would still have to, that's what they're saying they have to do. After Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the recreational bill into law, you know, this is still bottom line, you guys, a great move in the direction of cannabis and workers being able to use it. My question, though, starting with you, Blue,
sounds
is
great.
What is it that says this person looks visually, as they use here, stoned on the job? What is visually stoned on the job? Because is it what Jennifer looks like when she's staring in the corner when she claims she's at work and she comes back from lunch?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Look, Jennifer's stoned all the time, so it's hard to tell.
Visibly
you know, here's the thought process, okay? You've got people that are going to abuse anything, whatever you got the opportunity to abuse. They will abuse it, right? So if you feel that someone's visually stoned, I mean, you know, I don't think that you should be able to look at someone and be like, you're stoned. I know I got a little cousin named D-Lo, and his eyes are just always so low that he looks ripped every time you see him. So if you pulled up on him or pulled him over, there's no way in hell that you were not going to be able to tell if he was high or not, because he just always looks stoned. I mean, and he doesn't even smoke. So the kid just
there's
the
definitely
military.
Those there's a lot of people that have that stone look, that stoned eye, like
that's
Craig
it.
Has a wandering eye. You never know where
someone
he's
has
looking.
A lazy eye, or somebody who has allergies and their eyes are constantly red.
But to play devil's
that
advocate, can't
bullshit.
You tell? Can't you
no,
tell that?
No.
Like even with your boy that you're mentioning, Blue.
No.
Can't you tell he has that little scenario or issue
well,
rather than being stoned?
There's a time when we get to a point where, you know. You could tell someone if you know them well enough, like, yeah, he's ripped. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could look at Mark
right.
when Mark's ripped, and I see a Mark, and he's either,
you know. But you got to know somebody.
But
you got to
know
him. You got to
know
somebody.
So but at the office, and at the office, I would say, if Mark was overstone, I could look at him and be like, Mark, you're ripped, dude, right now. You know what I mean?
He's never that ripped that early, though.
No, not that early.
Takes
not that
early. Takes
no,
at the
it's
end
towards
of
the end
night.
Of the night.
I think
exactly.
this is
9 p.m.
This is bullshit. This
Mark,
law
so
is
yeah,
bullshit.
But no, not that the law is bullshit, Mark. My question to you is, can you say that you can see somebody that's visually stoned on the job?
No.
Do you think you can make that decision?
No.
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 Why?
Because what is visually stoned? What is that? What does that even mean?
Do you want me to give you an answer yet? Or
okay. Give me an example.
Okay, I have a great one, actually. Okay, you guys ready for this one? I was head of security back in the day before I got into radio as a bouncer. You guys know this story. My older brother, Rick, who worked for me, was working the front door. Now, there was no secret we got stoned every day before we went to the job, right? We got high, go to work, whatever, whatever. That being said, he got high, he's working the front door, and he's stuck on stupid, staring out there, sitting on the chair with this sort of, look, to the owner comes up to me and he goes, and the owner knows we smoked weed, right? There's no secret.
Sure.
Joe, did you guys smoke before you came in? Of course. But Mr. Functioning over here, I could smoke, and I worked, and I was the head of security. I had to do whatever the things I had to do, and
right.
You're working the front door. You're doing da-da-da-da-da-da. My point is, when I think of this story, I think of my brother as one example, because I looked at him, and he had this stone stuck on stupid look staring out to the crowd instead of standing up strong, being at the front door with a posture of a welcoming. He had a posture of,
But there are people who look like that.
I'm just not saying there's not. So I'm saying, hold on. I agree with what Blue said and you said. I agree there's people that look like that. But if you're at the job, your job knows you look like that.
Right.
So don't say something to me that your job already knows. This is saying, in New York, if you look stoned, that's not okay. I agree with it.
That is saying your employer gets to decide. Your employer gets to decide if he thinks you look stoned.
Well, it says the testing employees for cannabis unless the worker seems visibly stoned on the job.
Who decides that?
Once again, the employer. Exactly.
So if he doesn't like somebody, oh, you look stoned today, get out of here.
But
that's
the
bullshit.
Odds of that happening
bullshit.
Are thin.
Nah.
The odds
well,
are happening.
Well,
gonna
be the
the
people,
odds are.
Well, hold
gonna,
on.
Someone's
hold on
gonna come
he's got
in
a point
smelling.
Because
someone's
here's
gonna
the
come,
thing.
Wait.
Now it's you can leverage it to get rid of somebody now.
It could.
So
it's leveraging and getting
every
tested.
Every rule's going to get pushed over like
that's
that.
Bullshit.
The Labor Department issued new guidance saying the bans of employers in the state are from testing employees for cannabis unless the work. But here's the other key. The job may not have a cannabis scenario of whether or not it's something that they do or not. So we don't know that. You know what I mean? But my point is, if somebody you work with, we know how they look. We know how they are. You know who's working with you. To your point, Blue, yes, somebody could use that against them.
They're going to. It's not if they can or when. It's going to happen. I mean, you know.
They're going to smell it and then go, oh, you look stoned. Get out.
Who wouldn't do it?
Well, they said smell's not enough probable cause.
But
looking
stoned. That's not what I'm going to say because of the smell.
So let me ask you this. If you're sitting there.
They're going to use it as a
segue. Let me ask you the scenario. You ready for this? You come to the office, and I'm doing data entry, and I'm sitting there looking at my computer, and my fingers aren't moving, but I'm staring at my computer, and I'm stuck on stupid, going, oh, my God. And I look stoned. Is that probable cause to come to me and say, dude, are you stoned? You're not doing your job.
No. Well, I could just as easily say, hey, man, you're spacing out a little bit. What are you thinking about? You thinking about the chick you were with?
And he goes, no, I'm stoned.
Well, then he's a dummy because he admitted it, and now he's fucked himself because he admitted it. And he didn't shut the fuck up.
Well, either way, I just thought that was an interesting story.
Having a blast here at MJ BizCon, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101, and remember this. If no one else loves you, we do!
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.